available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football, at least for another year or so. Yeah, we passed the deadline, less than a year until USC and UCLA are out, going to the Big Ten.
It's, I think, the one-year anniversary or nearly of the Pac-12 Board of Directors authorizing the Pac-12 to start negotiating a media deal.
Yeah. How's that going? We haven't updated on that for a while.
There have been so many things that have happened since then. So many updates. Let's take you through them just a second.
None.
In August, I think they said it would be a few months. And then in November, I think they said it'd be a few weeks. And then in December, I think they said it'd be a few months. And then in February, I think they said it'd be a few weeks. And then in April, I think it was then that it was imminent.
Yeah.
Then it was May, where it was going to be a few more weeks. And then it was June,
yeah,
where it was possibly by the end of the month. And now it's July.
But there's a deadline that was like just from a week ago, there was a deadline.
A deadline.
For Pac-12 Media Day, December.
Correct.
July 21st.
Which was so funny because our friendly neighborhood beat reporters, John Canzano and John Wilner, are already soft pedaling that. Like, do they really need one?
They were saying that like a week ago. Like, there's a deadline. Like,
yeah, and there's not going to be anything.
Yeah,
no.
I as of like this morning, I was still thinking there's going to be something. But we'll get to all that stuff. We do appreciate you coming in and listening, or if you're watching live, our simulcast over on YouTube.
It's, I think, not, we're a simulcast.
Like, it is 16 people away from 1,000 followers. So get in there. Smash the hell out of that like
crush
button.
Crush it.
And please subscribe. Tell your friends if they love Pac-12 football, if they hate Pac-12 football, they'll probably hate us either way. Just like, yeah, tell them to subscribe to the channel.
All right, you guys.
Podcast of Champions.
Here's what I want.
What do you,
okay,
want?
Okay, you out there, you people listening right now,
yeah,
I want you to go find a friend or sign up for a new Gmail account or Google account or YouTube account while we are on this show. I want to see the 984 we have right now. Uh-huh. I want to see that at an even 1,000 by the time we're done recording.
I love it.
Okay.
Do you think our listeners have friends? I'm guessing no.
I mean, it's 9:33 on a Thursday, and they're sitting here watching us talk.
Do we have a bunch of people? Oh, we got some people in there. All right, get in there. Thank you for doing it, crushing the like button and subscribing and all that. If you have any questions, you can put question in the chat box. And hopefully I'll be able to put it up on the screen for you, but it doesn't look like the chat thing's working today. So I'll play with that as we go. But yeah, put it in the chat, whatever you want us to talk about. We just need better help. I know. If you have questions or comments for the show, best way is our email address, pac12podcast@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 424-532-0678 or over on Twitter, as long as Twitter is alive, pac12podcast. We keep using it.
When are we putting this sucker on Threads?
We could. You need an Instagram for that.
When are we putting this sucker on Instagram?
We got to do that first.
When are we putting this sucker on Blue Sky?
I don't even know what that is. So
that's the boutique Twitter. It's invite only.
Oh.
But I am on Blue Sky. So I could invite you, the Podcast of Champions. I get like one invite code every 2 weeks.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Thanks for inviting me
before. It's very exclusive. You know?
Like, I need another one of these things to look,
yeah,
at.
Yeah, no, just like this.
I did create a Threads like for like USCFootball.com, the peristyle, but like I've used it like twice or something. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if I guess you want to have it if Twitter dies, you
this
can't pick
like
your name. It has to be your Instagram name. So all these, I'm getting new Instagram requests because all these people have started Instagram accounts to like go on Threads. It's kind of crazy.
This is like the breakup of the Austro-Hungarian Empire after World War One.
Exactly like that.
Like, we've got Slovenia, we got Croatia now, we've got Hungary and Austria. There's too much going on. We need to consolidate again.
You need to, like, we need a return
of the Habsburgs. A return of Jack to Twitter. That's what we need.
Need Jack back. So as long as Twitter's around, we'll keep doing it. But I'm a TweetDeck guy. Were you a TweetDeck person or no?
Well, as a person who has to tweet stuff for a job, yes, of course I was a TweetDeck guy because it's the only way to schedule tweets.
Yeah, and TweetDeck, you couldn't, at least you could for a while, and then they took it away again. You couldn't, like, tag photos and stuff in TweetDeck. So that was kind of blowy. But the other parts were good. And I could, you know, if I was looking at my Inside Troy, you know, USCFootball.com, whatever, feed, and tweeted out something from the Podcast of Champions, I could easily retweet it there, or I could retweet it with the Podcast of Champions account. And, like, now you got to switch between accounts if you want to, like, retweet something that you tweeted from one of your other, you know, I manage a few of them, so they made it harder. I don't know, and it's going to go away. Like, you have to pay for it, I think, after, like, a month. So the thing I use Twitter for the most is going to be under the paywall, and if I paid for that, David would probably kill me. So I guess I'm not going to use TweetDeck anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no.
I'm definitely going to tweet less.
The thing is, I think he finally stumbled into the thing that people would actually pay for, which is TweetDeck, because it's the one way to basically do business Twitter.
Yeah.
But he did it in the wrong order. He needed to do that one first before he destroyed the entire business.
So would you pay for TweetDeck?
I wouldn't, but I can see a scenario where a lot of people would, and they wouldn't be doing it for, because the thing is, when you're paying for the stupid blue check, you're not paying for really anything additional that people want.
No.
Like, you're not, I can edit my tweets. Who cares? I've been putting typos in my tweets for 15 fucking years. Who cares?
Yeah.
But the TweetDeck, it's the only way outside of, like, Hootsuite, but all those secondary, tertiary apps have been cut off from the API.
Oh, they have.
Yeah. So TweetDeck is the only way to do it now. And if that goes away, then people can't use Twitter for, you know, scheduling tweets, doing all the monetizing stuff you need to do.
When the season starts, like, I'm probably going to have to pay for it. Like, I'm probably going to use TweetDeck because I do it a lot during games and everything. And it's just,
I mean, I'll lose respect for you. I don't have that much.
But it's more, but if it was just for the blue check, you would probably, like, walk out, right?
Yeah, I'd be done with you.
Take all of your equipment here all of your expertise and all the work.
Look,
you already
bought a Tesla. That's the amount of support I'm willing to accept from you for Elon.
Literally almost 9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so yours is one of the ones that, like, one in 10 of them explodes into a ball of fire, right?
No, I don't think so. That was probably, I got a 2014, but literally the coolest thing I've ever bought.
Oh, so yours is the one where you can't open the doors from the inside. Is that right?
No, you can open.
If the electricity is off or something?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't had that.
Do you know where the emergency handle is?
No clue.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah. I did have, you know, the door handles, like, pop out.
Mm-hmm.
One of them didn't. Like, but the driver's side door didn't pop out for a while, and there's some motor or something, so you have to go get it replaced. But, like, there's, like, literally you go on YouTube and you find a hack, and it's you put, like, credit cards in there to pop it out, and then, like, you double side like athletic tape and kind of slide it through, so you have, like, a ring of athletic tape, so the door, the handle's closed, you just pull it out. And when I brought it to Tesla, they're like, oh, you got the hack. I'm like, yeah, you know, so I could open the door pretty easily, but you don't want this, like, white piece of tape hanging off your door handle. But I mean,
I want you to just, like, try to get outside of yourself for a second.
Uh-huh.
Replay what you just said in your mind, like, staring at yourself, because that's where I am right now.
Really? Yeah.
Like, oh, he bought a Tesla and he is opening his door with a credit card. Cool.
That was after 8 years. Like, I've literally had, like, nothing wrong with the thing for so long. It's like, there's only, like, 12 moving parts.
There's a really good metaphor there somewhere, opening a door with a credit card. Like, there's something there. I got to workshop it a little bit, but it'll be there in a second.
But I love mine. I don't know. Like, literally, I've had the thing for a long time. Like, eventually the battery's going to die.
But I'm blaming you for the current state of Twitter.
Okay, because I bought a car 10 years ago or
Correct.
9 years ago. Yeah, nice. Hey, dude, if you have the Apple Podcasting app, you got your iPhone. So if you're on Threads, you have to have an iPhone, because I don't think they're on
Android. Are we still introing this show?
We're still introing.
Oh, God.
Do we have any new reviews? We want you to leave us a 5-star rating.
No, why would anyone review this thing? We haven't gotten a review since, it looks like, May now.
Oh, get in there.
I think somebody from June deleted their oh, you know what it was?
What?
Because that person in June, because they posted the entire opening of Moby Dick, I'm sure it got hit by copyright.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
and somebody put a takedown notice on it. They're even doing takedown notices for your iTunes reviews, people.
Wow. Crazy stuff. All right. Well, let's get into the show. Maybe we could start with the media rights deal, because we kind of talked about that already a little bit. As David sort of recapped, you know, it was June 30th when USC and UCLA gave notice, hey, we're out. Not like San Diego State gave notice. They actually said, we're leaving, and they're leaving, and they're going to the Big Ten and all that. And that's when, you know, they were rallying in the Pac-12 offices. We're going to do a new media rights deal. I think they had sort of a plan in place of how that was going to go. Brett Yormark over at Big 12 Media Days, which have started, by the way, or they might be done now, but they started this week, comes out and he jumps the line, and their media rights deal was up after the Pac-12s, but they go out and get, what, $31, $32 million a year per school and sort of set the bar where the last number we had was the Big Ten, which was like $75 million a year or whatever for every school. And the big, I think the Pac-12 was hoping to, like, you know, not get there, but like use that as like what everyone's hearing about. Brett Yormark comes in, 31 half, 32, whatever it is, million, and sort of resets the bar and kind of, you know, I think it, you know, took some of the wind out of the Pac-12 sails, and it's just been going month after month after month. And we've heard from a couple of the presidents, not much going on there. And like, you know, David said, we keep hearing it's going to come, it's going to come. There was a, you know, the deadline of the Pac-12 media day being July 21st. It's one day, which even some of the Group of Five conferences have more than one day for their media day. So I don't know why you go to Vegas. I thought they'd do a 2-day thing. I thought that would have been smart, but whatever. They're doing one day. What, if you haven't been to a Pac-12 media day, David, have you been to one before? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know you've been there, but not very often. So usually the opening remarks come, and it'll be George Kliavkov and maybe one of the athletic directors kind of up there. He might bring up like the director of officials, but you got to give like a it's like a state of the union for the conference. We haven't heard peep, you know, one from George Kliavkov in months and months because of this. Everyone's going to talk about the media rights deal, right? So what's going on with that? How awkward, and you know, your conviction right now is they're not going to have a deal in the next 8 days, which, you know, it's next Friday. And I'm sort of on your side with this. I'm like, yeah, if you haven't come out with one now, I don't know, maybe early next week or something, you could. But if not, like, are you going to be talking about, like, Michael Penix trying to win the Heisman, or Utah trying to three-peat, or even Coach Prime, like, and all the new coaches, you know, Dillingham and Troy Taylor, they're killing it in recruiting. Like Stanford looks like they're coming back. I mean, they're going to suck. But are you going to be talking about any of that? Or are you going to be talking about a Pac-12 media rights deal? And it's supposed to be – this is like the 1 year we've seen in a long time that there's a lot of hype around Pac-12 football for a lot of different reasons. And most of them are good. And then this goes on. So to me, this is a mistake. Like you – I would much rather have Pac-12 Media Day focusing on football. And it's now, if they don't get a deal the next 8 days, it's going to be focused on this media rights deal.
The mistake was made months ago, though. I mean, yeah. I think no matter what at this point, a huge focus would be on the media deal, whether it gets announced or not, right? So if it's nothing, then you're going to end up with, you know, millions of questions for Kliavkov,
right,
about
why does it suck,
what's and going blah, 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 on. Yeah, yeah. And if it does come out, like if it does start to leak out, or they put it out like some official source or whatever, it's going to be, well, all the details about the media deal. Like, oh, do you think that's enough to survive? Blah, 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 the whole thing. You're going to have like coaches get asked about it. I don't think there's any way around it at this point. The problem isn't not announcing now. The problem was that they didn't have a deal in place in April. They very publicly went to market. They very publicly, you know, were starting the process, and then they went silent and dead. And the thing is, if you're going to go silent and dead, okay, you do that for a month, but they've been silent and dead for 6 months now on basically any details that are coming out besides what, like, a president here, you know, the Washington State idiot or the Arizona guy.
Robin Roberts.
And Kirk Schultz.
the Washington State idiot.
Robert.
Those
Robbins.
Guys are part of the leadership group now, right?
Yeah, like, Robin Roberts, Robert Robbins, Robin Robbins.
Yeah, it's Robin a Hood? Robert Robbins
or Robert Robin Roberts.
Robert Robbins. We can switch it around. He's now a part of the what's it called? The he's got a seat on the board of directors, executive committee. So he's. And Wilner was reporting this. The four corner schools didn't have any representation: Arizona State, Utah. And Colorado. So Robert Robbins, who's been in the
Robin
media,
Roberts.
Robin Roberts, he's in there, 2-year term. And Kirk Schultz, who you mentioned, is the board chair. And he's taken that over from Washington's president, Anna Marie Kaus or whatever. And she wasn't very sports. She wasn't like a sports person. So these people are at least sports people, which is good.
Robin Roberts.
Yeah. He's in there. And Kirk Schultz is now like the head honcho.
Shirt Colts.
And those are the guys that we were hearing from spewing their lies.
Well, that's the thing. But we haven't heard anything from Klyavkov in the longest time. And so we're going to hear from him. So it's going to be an opportunity to ask a bunch of questions. And there's no way around that at this point. So a year where the Pac-12 might be kind of good, where it might actually have,
I mean, five ranked teams.
Three or four teams that in a, you don't have to squint that hard to see them in the potential playoff conversation at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And instead, we're going to be.
And three new coaches where, like, you didn't remember that Troy Taylor was hired by Stanford.
Correct.
But he's crushing recruiting. Like, it just seems like.
I'm still not sure he's been hired by Stanford. Are you sure?
Hold on. Do we have a picture?
Have they finalized
Here's that a picture deal? Of him if you're watching on YouTube with the jersey. Yes, he's been hired.
What was sad about that is it wasn't like it was 3 months later. And I'm like, huh. It was like 2 weeks after we had talked about it, I think, on this very
show.
But
Stanford's been so, like, there's been blah. But someone like that, if he can get them back. That's exciting. Like Denny Killingham and Arizona State, there's some exciting stuff going on there. And of course, primetime didn't get his leg cut off. That's a positive. And boom, 60 new players on the roster. Like, and with all the quarterbacks coming back, DJ got drafted by the Dodgers. He was like Mr. Irrelevant in the MLB draft, I guess. He hasn't played baseball, I don't think, since high school, if I'm not mistaken, DJU. But anyway, Bo Nix and Michael Penix and Caleb Williams, you got the Heisman Trophy winner coming back. Like, there's a lot of exciting, like, we haven't had Pac-12 football this exciting this early, and this, going into a season, it's like, wow, this is stuff that you can really, the one time you could just get up on the podium, and even though you haven't made the playoff in a million years, like, this is the year you could see it. And, Utah, being able to go for three, try to get a three-peat here, like, there's exciting stuff. And if there's no deal, man, no one's going to care. Like, that.
Whether
that
there's a deal or not, nobody's like, my point is, like, they've already screwed this up. So now it's just.
So next week, say they came out with $35 million per school. It's going to be, some streaming, but, decent amount on linear. Probably late games on ESPN or whatever. So it's like, okay, so that's like a little better than the Big 12. It's acceptable, right? I don't think there'd be I still think there'd be focus on football by the time Friday rolls around. You don't think?
So my problem is nobody wants to talk about this shit. Like, people don't want to listen to this right now. Like, we've got, people don't care except in the sense that, like, oh yeah, it's the lifeblood of the conference. But like, media day should be an opportunity to get, like, lots of good, like, sound bites from coaches on their teams and hype up all that kind of stuff. No matter what the friggin' media deal is, it's a stupid piece of conversation on this day. If you announce this thing in April, then it's not occupying this opportunity, which is to talk to, if the coaches aren't being idiots, the two best players on their team and the coach about that team that year. You also get maybe occasional shit talk between programs if they're, Jim Harbaugh talking about Pete Carroll's program or whatever. But now it's going to be about the likelihood that the Pac-12 still exists in 3 years, which is what this entire conversation is about.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, what happens? It looks like David Woods will be in Las Vegas.
I was convinced
for media day
5 minutes before this show to commit to my plans.
Yeah. We have USCfootball.com social media intern Elizabeth in studio too. I don't know. Here, slide over here like a little. You can, we have the camera up there. Say hi. If you could, you're going to be seeing it. There you go. She's checking in there. So she'll be in Vegas. I got a couple people from the site will be in Vegas. And now David Woods will be there. We've had some fun.
I'm going to be on 4 hours of sleep.
Perfect. Whatever. We don't need a lot of sleep when we're in Vegas.
That's true.
We
do. You get the oxygen pumping in. Everything's fine.
We hit it pretty hard. For an old guy and you, yeah, we do.
Dude, I'm ancient. Right. I have two kids.
That does make you older. That's like adds like 5 years.
That adds 10 years apiece.
10 years apiece?
It's exponential, actually. It's 10 years for the first one, and then you get an additional 15 for the second.
So you are older than me, then.
Yeah, I'm 25 years older than I am.
Damn.
I'm 62.
Yeah, you're like 10 years older than me.
Shit, man.
Pretty old. Okay, so we'll see what happens. I kind of didn't even want to do a show until we had a media rights deal in place. Canzano and I think
we wouldn't be doing a show for never, the last year of the Pac-12.
Yeah, it was like, it's just not going to happen. I think Canzano's latest column or the latest one I saw, the people that he talked to, the sources he had talked to in the conference were more like, they're not looking at it the same way we're looking at it as like, this is, you know, there's a deadline or anything. You know, the San Diego State thing, was there a deadline with that? They didn't seem to you know, that nothing seems to bother them. They're on their own, you know, in their own world. They're not going to say anything. It's the most public, I mean, just the poorly executed PR that you could imagine, but they don't seem to care. They're just kind of doing their own thing. So the only thing that's going to save the Pac-12 here is there's some crazy deal that no one saw coming, and they can just sit back and go, see, just wait, we told you. But if it's just something with, like, you know, Wilner was saying, within 10% of either side of the Big 12 deal, if it's in that range, it's just about, you know, negligible, the difference, why the hell did you not say anything? Why did you wait this long? The only benefit would be waiting this long is if you got something way better than nobody saw coming. So unless there's some crazy outcome that we can't anticipate seeing, this is just, to me, it's been a PR nightmare. And Pac-12 Media Day, I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're going to do with all this stuff. Like, when it gets down to the breakouts and you have, you know, you're listening to Kyle Whittingham talk about, you know, Cam Rising's health and all this stuff, you know, they're going to be asked a bunch of questions about, what do you think of the media rights deal? Oh, they're going to take care of it. You know, like, it's just going to be the same crap over. So every coach, every player is going to have to talk about it. And it's just, you know, to me, this is a failure in leadership, unnecessary. You're going to put all these players and coaches through all that crap.
Yeah. I just realized that was a confluence of, like, your favorite things to talk about.
Was there spring football in there?
Who knows? But yeah, no, that's the one thing that was missing. But you had Media Day itself, like, as a construct.
So
it's
good.
Your favorite thing to talk about. And the media deal.
The media deal.
All we needed was, I wish they could play a spring game before Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah.
What if they had an all-star spring game before Pac-12 Media Day?
Ooh, that would be fun.
In July.
I'd love that. We could do that. We'd talk about it all the time. But I am excited for Vegas. Brett Yormark sort of backed off. Big 12 was first Power 5 conference to have their media day. He sort of backed off the open for business kind of thing that was a year ago at this time when he was talking about that. So we'll see sort of what happens. But all eyes, all ears, everyone's going to be listening to what Klyavkov has to say, because literally we haven't heard from him. You know, he's just not done interviews. He's not.
I won't say I'll be listening. I might glaze over a little bit.
You're actually, well, because it's going to be. You're going to be...
I'm going to be tired. I might just take a nap.
That's the one thing you got to listen to.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, you don't want to know what's going to go on. Like,
the good thing is, because it's Vegas and, you know, I'll have other things to do, and it's not like in some place where you can't get anywhere from there, after Klyavkov's opening remarks, I might just leave. Come back for UCLA and then dip.
Do you know what? I don't know what the schedule is. Do you know what?
No, they'll probably stick UCLA and USC last again.
Well, they might. They usually spread them out, though. But that's always in LA. So the one different dynamic for Media Day is typically it's in Los Angeles. It's been in Los Angeles, Hollywood studios, wherever. So the majority of, you know, it's the biggest media market. There's more media coming from LA. So they would, like, strategically put, like, maybe UCLA right before lunch, and then USC right at the end, or they'd split something like that. So you had to kind of stick around for all those. But now it's in Vegas. So, you know, I don't think there's, like, the LA Times is probably not going to send a whole bunch of people, or the local TV stations and stuff. I don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to do it differently, or they're going to, like, get USC and UCLA out of the way early.
Here's the question.
And focus on everyone else that are going to be sticking around.
Here's the question that we need to consider is, how lit can we get before the end of Media Day?
During Media Day,
you think?
So,
like, what's the over? Like, what
if USC needs to, like, go early? Because I have
we'll
other
just
people
be screaming things at Jonathan Smith.
I have other people doing work. Yeah, so I could potentially do that. We could go at the lunch break and hit the crabs table.
Mm-hmm.
And Resorts World, though, is like, that's an expensive one. That's going to be tough. We'd have to probably play blackjack there.
It's not that expensive.
It's a nicer one.
It's nice, but it's not that expensive because it's kind of far down the street.
It is, yeah.
I've played there. It's fine.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. So we could definitely hit some drinks up. I want to see what the desserts are because they always have like, you know, there's 12 different desserts that each school has a thing. It's like cupcakes or donuts or whatever. Because I am a 12-year-old boy when it comes to desserts. So I will eat lots of them.
Yes.
Okay. Wanted to talk about the San Diego State thing too because we didn't do a show last week, the 4th of July.
Break. Is that why we didn't?
Or just, I mean, there wasn't that much going on too. Mm-hmm. Plus you're lazy.
Like, I thought it was inertia.
It was
one of Newton's laws.
We could have got a guest again, but I got a guest the week before and you're just, I was like, you know, you're always complaining. Whatever work I do, David complains.
That's not true.
He does no work. That's and then not like true. Complains about the work
There's
I do.
There's specific work of yours that I complain about.
But the San Diego State saga is pretty weird. And obviously it impacts the Pac-12. There's a series of letters that went back and forth. San Diego State, I think they've done a really good job. And if you don't know, like San Diego State, I think for the last 12 years, if you combine football and basketball winning percentage, they are like number two in the country behind Ohio State. Like they've had very successful programs from the major sports. And obviously San Diego being Southern California, it's a no-brainer. They make it to the national championship game in basketball, a no-brainer to add San Diego State if you're going to expand at all. If you're going to expand, like they have to be 1ABC, they're the number one brand. I think San Diego State's handled this really well. They've been thinking about going Power Five for a long time until they write this stupid letter. Basically, they're giving their intent to the Mountain West that they were going to leave, anticipating either the Big 12 or the Pac-12 was going to take them in. And the Mountain West is now playing hardball, even though the Mountain West needs San Diego State. So I think some of this is like lawyer stuff and just positioning and whatever. But there are letters that went back and forth. And basically, the Mountain West is saying, no, San Diego State, I know you said it was only your intent to leave, but we're taking that as you are leaving. We are withholding the $6 million media rights payout you were due. Oh, and by the way, that $17 million exit fee, you owe that. So you'll owe $11 million more. So there, I think at the end of the day, like the Pac-12 is not going to be able to add San Diego State in 2024. So it'll be 10 teams next year, in my opinion. They're not going to expand at that point. San Diego State will still play in the Mountain West, but it might just be about they're going to do it for less money. I don't know. We'll see what's happening. But I don't know if there's bad blood, San Diego State and Mountain West. There's definitely history because I think there was the Boise State, like they were leaving and then San Diego State like stood up for them and San Diego State like decided to leave but then came back when I think it was the Big East thing. There was a whole bunch of weird stuff kind of going on there. But this is a weird one, like a power move by the Mountain West. I don't think San Diego State's going to be stuck, but basically because the Pac-12 can't take them now because they haven't, you know, their shit's not together. Now it's a whole big mess with San Diego State and the Mountain West. So it's kind of fun. I don't know what you thought about it all, Dave.
I just think it's fun that the Pac-12 in a new and avant-garde move is helping to bankrupt an athletic department that's not even in the league. I think that's cool. I mean, we've seen their success with schools in the league.
Yeah, they could bankrupt schools within the league.
But I'm amazed at their ability to do so with schools out of the league. That's incredible.
It's pretty
funny. I mean, I can only bow down in awe.
Yeah, pretty funny stuff. Like, but.
And this is, I mean, this is, you know, all the other stuff you can say, oh, that was the genius work of Larry Scott, right? The bankrupting of various athletic departments that need to be bailed out in the Pac-12. This is a new one. This is, yeah, the circumstances were created by Larry Scott, but George Klyavkov, you've taken it to another level. Negotiated at such a level that they are convinced they are coming, but might need some more time.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. We're going to take $23 million from you. Enjoy.
Have fun with that. Well, I think it's the 17.
It's the 17, but they're also claiming that they want to withhold the $6 million from the media deal.
I think that they can withhold the media deal, but I think it counts against the 17. I think it counts against their exit fee. Like, that's part of what they're doing. So if any good comes out of this, then maybe they only have to pay maybe the Pac-12 does add them because now they're getting the cheaper rate or something. So maybe they're playing chess and this was their strategy to like get like not officially
there's
get out?
Always the chance this is all just legal posturing and they're having conversations behind closed doors and they're like, okay, so we have to pay the 17, but can we make it just the 17 and you can posture in this way so that it'll, you know, prevent other schools from doing the same thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's funnier. If
it's very fun.
If the Pac-12 is bankrupting San Diego State.
You can't give anybody credit for doing something smart. I mean, San Diego State you could have, but this doesn't look very smart. So, yeah, this is just crazy. Just crazy stuff. Yeah. All right. I wanted to – so – and I guess David doesn't get these emails. And I didn't for a little while, but I got them again. But I probably won't after this year. Preseason, all-conference teams. So I put my votes in. It's very – it's not easy. Like – who are the preseason, like, all-conference offensive linemen? You know, it's like, you know, some like, okay, Oregon State, like, they'll probably have some dudes. I actually emailed all of the publishers to get, like, their thoughts. And there was a bunch of people nominated, so by the different schools. So we would get a ballot for each position. And there are going to be, like, 30, 40 people on the ballot. And sometimes you had to vote for, like, 8 or 10. It was, like, a lot of people. And sometimes you only had to vote for a couple. So there was a lot of stuff going on. It took me a while to go through all these and try to like – and some of the stuff you're like, do you have stats on all the offensive linemen? You can see like, oh, that guy has 5 picks and 10 pass breakups. Like, okay, he's a preseason all-conference defensive back. But for lots of offensive linemen, it's hard. So you want to look up their PFF grades or something for every guy there. I wasn't going to do that. But I asked everyone – a couple of the publishers did get back to me, but most of them did. Unfortunately, like the Oregons and the Utahs, like where they would have a lot of guys represented, those guys didn't get back to me. And it was funny. Some people didn't even nominate. Like you gave me – you were the first responder, by the way.
Yeah. You say I don't respond to emails.
You responded right away. You must have been like responding to something else and just like serially responded
hey,
right away.
Hey, hey.
But you didn't
don't
even –
don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
So I asked everyone like who would be like up for one of the top three, you know, players in their position. And you actually – and a lot of people did – they left out some of the players on their team that were also nominated, you know, and maybe the level of nomination wasn't, I was asking more for like who could win, but it was very helpful for a lot of stuff, but trying to go through these things. So we'll kind of go through quickly.
Oh, you're saying I was honest and other people were not?
No, other people were honest too. But there, I think everyone, the people that even provided more nominations, there were players from the team that they cover that were actually nominated that they didn't even mention. So there was a lot of that. But there was more. I think if the schools kind of nominate guys. And we'll start with tight end. I'm just going to go in the order, like put my – in the top of your head, who you think the best tight end in the conference would be? Do you have anyone?
The top of my head?
Think Utah.
The guy.
Brent Keefe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I also put in Benjamin Urasek, the Stanford one. It's funny, Stanford and Cal had some dudes, and I'm like, why were they so terrible? They guys like Cal had like I think the second leading receiver or something in the Pac-12, like yards per game. It's like, how are they so bad? Running back. This was, you know, there were some dudes here. And again, I have like a Cal and Stanford guy. I had Damian Martinez from Oregon State, Michael Wiley from Arizona, Jay Knott, California, and EJ Smith from Stanford on my ballot. But like, you know, USC brings in you know, running back from what am I blanking on his name? The running back from South Carolina. Like, there's a lot of transfers that were very productive where they were.
Yeah, Carson Steele for UCLA.
Marshawn Lloyd.
He had almost 1,600 yards last year for Ball State.
Yeah, so it's like hard to. So that's what makes for me these ballots harder. Yeah, like dude from Ball State. You know, Marshawn Lloyd was a stud for South Carolina. Like, if people have brought in good running backs. I kind of focused more on. The returning guys that I know, but I know some of the USC transfers and I think they're going to be, I don't know. So was there any running backs kind of off the top of your head that would stand out that you'd,
I would have gone Damian Martinez. That would have been my pick.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I think you kind of handled it. Yeah. And I mean, there's always the chance that one of the younger guys who's, you know, like TJ Harden for UCLA, you're not grading Harden really. You're grading Chip Kelly's running offense. And so it's like,
yeah,
you plug somebody in there with some talent, they're going to be pretty good. TJ Harden's probably going to be pretty good. Carson Steele's probably going to be pretty good. Now, I think the question is, are they going to split carries? Because if they're going to be about 50-50, then neither of them is going to be all conference.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's hard.
It's very hard to grade that stuff early.
when they send the nominations, you can kind of click on the players, and it's sort of like, it's not formatted well, you know, whatever, but you could see, okay, here's the line for rushing yards or whatever. But any of the transfers, it's only showing you stats from returning guys. So it made it a little tougher, and it would have taken a whole lot of work. I tried to do the best job I could. For wide receivers, I had Rome Odunze, I think that's how you say his name, from Washington. Like, Washington's got some really good receivers, obviously. He was a stud last year returning. Dorian Singer is going to be at USC. You know, he was second leading receiver, I think, in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
He's going to be catching passes from Caleb Williams. So I'm like, okay, that works.
Jacob Cowling,
I had him on there. And also Jeremiah Hunter from Cal, who I think like yards per game was number two in the conference or something, and which I had no clue. I'm like, really? Like, how's that good?
I mean, but there's Troy Franklin, Jalen McMillan. Also,
yeah, McMillan could have been there.
It's a pretty stacked receiver conference. And
you only get four. Like, some of these, we had to put like eight or 10 or something. And like, for receivers, only four. I'm like, how do we only have four for this? But
one that could get there is J. Mike for UCLA. J. Mike is third event.
Okay.
He's really good.
Yeah, I think he was definitely nominated. I think you might have sent him over to me too.
Maybe.
But this was hard because there's only four for this one. For return specialist. They only had a couple here. Silas Boland was really good last year for Oregon State. And then of all the returning guys, Raelic Brown from USC was like the highest like return percentage. So I didn't think this was it was hard to choose from this. Like, a lot of the more productive guys are gone. But any return dudes, like UCLA have anybody or anyone that?
No. No.
Yeah. That was kind of a harder one. You only get two quarterbacks. I put Caleb Williams and Michael Penix.
Penix,
you know. So would you have put anyone else in there? Or
I mean there's potential for Bo Nix.
You only get two, so it's like,
yeah, I mean, I think Williams and Penix make the most sense. And I think after that it's Bo Nix and then a pretty clear drop off from there.
But it could be, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, but I,
because Cam Rising's coming back for the ACL. Shedeur Sanders could be good. Jaden Delora could be good.
DJU
is probably not going to be good, but, you know.
You don't think so?
He hasn't been yet in college, so.
He had a commercial.
Yeah, there's that.
Dr. Pepper commercial. Punting. So another transfer, I took USC's Eddie Saplinski, or whatever you say his name, from Arizona State, because
I can't wait until you ask me if I have any thoughts on the punting in the league.
He was an all-conference punter last year, so I was like, okay, well, he's still in the conference. And then Arizona's guy, like Kyle Austin Dorp. I wonder what the Arizona guys are.
Is it Dorp or Dorpf?
There's no F or
there's
or
no
H.
F?
No, it's just D-O-R-P.
Shouldn't there be an F at the end of there?
We could add it.
I think that's in the...
If we're going to talk about him
original German, shouldn't there be an F there?
I would think maybe when he came to Ellis Island, the family, they just dropped the... Like,
do you think he came through Ellis Island?
No, like his family.
like 15 years ago.
Yeah. He's like, hey.
For whatever reason, he's wearing like a brown newspaper boy's hat, and he's wearing like an overcoat, and he's like six.
He just talked to like a random homeless guy. Like, are you the immigration person? Yeah. What's your name? We're going to drop the F. You know, just
give me. He came over on a steamship somehow.
Yeah. Love it. We should just go to Ellis Island and put like a sign that says like immigration and just see if people start walking up. That's probably insensitive, but okay, whatever.
Insensitive.
Any thoughts on the punter?
To what? Immigrants from 200 years ago?
Too soon.
It's like my family.
Thoughts on the punters? No. So offensive lineman, you get to pick 10. Yeah, this was really hard. I don't know. So I think I had one Utah guy, Satoa Lumea from Utah. I had him first.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's Troy Fontenot, he was up there. Joshua Gray from Oregon State. And I think I had three Oregon State guys in there. Justin Dietich is playing his sixth year. I had him in there for USC. Jordan Morgan from Arizona. A couple of the Arizona guys. And Duke Clements from UCLA, I had on my list. He's someone I think you had mentioned.
Yep.
But this was really hard to do. I probably missed some like absolute studs, but there wasn't a lot of like data being given, and it was a lot.
You did the right thing. You picked some Oregon State guys and some Utah guys.
Yeah, and Washington, Washington, Arizona. It's funny, they had a couple guys too, but I think they had a pretty good offensive line, if I'm not mistaken. Linebackers, you, I know, would put Jackson Sermon right up top, but I think he's the highest, most tackles returning. I had Eric Gentry from USC in there. He had a crap load of production. There wasn't as many high productive guys coming back. Utah's Kareen Reed, Washington, Alfonso Tupitala. He was in there. I put Mason Cobb from USC in there because he was like Big 12 leading tackler or something like that from when he was at Oklahoma State. So some of the guys in there. Anyone would stand out? Could UCLA could have anybody else in there? I don't think you gave me a nomination at linebacker, but
no, I think a lot of people are putting Darius Muasau on their teams, and I think it's just because they didn't watch UCLA last year.
okay.
What does that mean? Did you say Lavani Damouni for Utah?
I didn't have him in there. I guess I could have, yeah.
Yeah, he was at Stanford, now he's in Utah.
Oh, okay. So I could have done that. All right.
I don't know. That's the only one that really stands out.
Okay. Kickers.
Jesus.
Joshua Cardy of Stanford. Uh-huh. Another Arizona guy, Tyler.
Cardy party.
Tyler Loop.
Cardy, wasn't he famous for scoring every single point for Stanford in a game last year?
I think so. Yeah. He was like, he had some 100% stuff.
Yeah.
Loop was like 86%, I think. So yeah. I was kind of just looking at kicker percentages and like, oh, those guys were the highest ones. Like, all right, go. Give me all your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Defensive line. These are edge rushers and defensive linemen and stuff. Braylon Trice might be like the Pac-12 defensive player of the year for Washington. Like he's got that potential. I had him number one. Leitu Lautu. How do you say his name?
Leitu Lautu.
Lautu Lautu from UCLA. I had him high up there. Is that fair? You mentioned him, I think.
Yeah, I think there's potential for him to be the best. He's got a lot of natural ability. Maybe the defensive scheme this year will be a little bit better.
Brennan Jackson from Washington State. I had Keon Bars because he's been like actually killing it. The Arizona transfer to USC. Brandon Dorlis from Oregon. Oregon State's Sione Lolohe. Junior Tafuna from Utah. I put Bear Alexander, the five-star transfer from Georgia, in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on any of those guys?
Nah, I think you nailed it.
I don't about nailing, but. DBs, Kalen Bullock, USC safety.
Is it just DBs?
Yeah, they don't have like safety. So there's like eight of them.
Do the people who create these awards for the Pac-12, do they watch the sport?
There's all these weird. Yeah, they could have like edge rush. I mean, and the fact that they have like all purpose stuff, like, I don't know what the heck this is. Oregon's Trequeezy Bridges, Washington State's Shaw Wade Smith. Ryan Cooper Jr. from Oregon State, Patrick McMorris from Cal, Craig Woodson from Cal, Travis Hunter, Colorado, Christian Roland Wallace, who was at Arizona, USC. I don't know. I kind of looked for guys that were highly productive last year that I knew about. There might be some transfers that I didn't know that they were like, oh, they were all world somewhere else. Any DBs come to the top of your
Did you mind? Mention Travis Hunter?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the only one I can think of.
Because I think he's going to be...
like literally the only DB I can think of in the entire league.
Yeah.
Cole Bishop, Utah?
I did. Did I have him? Wait, hold on. No, I didn't. Oh, what, is he gone or is he around?
I think he's around.
Oh, that's an oversight then.
I could be wrong.
I thought he was gone.
I don't think he's gone. I think he's still there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Should have had him in there. So.
Yeah. Put it back in there.
See, but Utah didn't get back to me, and they could have mentioned that. I would have definitely put it in there.
God.
It's just like these log lists. It's like sometimes you just glaze
such
over.
Such a useless piece of shit.
All-purpose special teams players. I had Travis Hunter because he's going to be like a stud for Colorado, and I just put Ray Lake Brown again. There wasn't a lot of – I don't know. It seemed like very – it's like returners, and you have this thing too. But Travis Hunter, I think he'll be a stud. I think that was it for positions. What are your thoughts on we had to pick the conference too, like who's mm-hmm. going to be first, second, third, all the way through 12th. Could you do like rattle off?
No, we got to do our thing.
Okay.
Where we pick each game.
So we got to pick each game. All right.
Yeah. If I was gauging it right now, I'd go USC. Probably number one.
Who are your top two, though? Like, who would be?
I'd probably go, because of the Cam Rising status, I'd probably go USC and Washington.
That's who I went with, too. Yeah. I just, there's some people, I think Washington's defense is going to be, like, legit. Like, they're going to be good. The receivers are, I mean, they're going to throw for a zillion yards.
DeBoer is a proven offensive guy.
Yeah.
They're going to be good.
They're going to score a lot of points.
He's also lost, like, I don't know, like 7 games in his entire college coaching career. So why would he start now?
Yeah. And I think the defense is going to be a lot better. It's so hard with all the transfers and stuff coming in, but, you know, I've listened to Chris Fetters talk about it, and I kind of like what they're doing. I think Oregon, there's definitely potential there, but there's more, I have more question marks on the Oregon side.
Do you know what Kalen DeBoer's record as a head coach is? I know we do this every now and then, but
what is it?
If you add in Sioux Falls, right? Which I think you should. Why not? He's 90-11.
That's pretty good. That's like Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
He was like something like that.
Yeah. And it's not like it's, I mean, he's at the major college level, he's 23-8, and that should have been a rebuilding Washington that just went 11-2. I don't know. He's a pretty good coach, that guy.
Oh, in the chat, so Bucky Irving. I'm sure I left people off, so I'm sorry. If anyone else. There was one there. Yeah. Okay. All Pac-12. We will do all our picks. We'll pick all the games and then come up with – and I kept track last year of every pick we made, and then we looked at the end of the year – unlike other people that make picks and then just move on, we'll look back and see where we were wrong and where we were right and all that kind of stuff.
How I was overwhelmingly correct.
No, I think it was really close for all the games, I think.
Yeah. Hey, who won our competition last year?
I don't remember. I erased it from the whiteboard. Did you? Or what? Did I?
So after you lose 2 years in a row, you just start erasing things?
No, we had to do some other stuff. Where's my...
Wow.
No, but I have it on my dock, I think, somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know where it is.
Wow.
Somewhere. 2022.
He didn't want the reminder.
Okay. You were 56-40-2 against the spread. I was 52-44-2. So damn. I have it on the dock. I had it on the dock.
Damn. 4 games.
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that's like the second year you've won. So that's good. We've been doing this like 7 years. So that's not bad.
Second year in a row, though, I think.
Second year. No. It was, I think you won 2020, and then I won 2021. Barely, and then you won 2022 more handily.
Damn.
But we were both bad. We were both bad in 2021. We were both good last year, but you were just better.
Just crushed.
Yeah. Crushing life. One other thing is this whole – so you remember the name Michael Schill?
Yeah.
Remember we talk about –
He was quite a shill.
We don't talk about presidents a lot on the show, but sometimes you have to. He was Oregon's president.
Mm-hmm.
And Northwestern, who's like, you know, they're kind of like the Stanford of the Big Ten.
I like to think of them as the Oregon of the Big Ten.
The Oregon of the Big Ten. They've had Pat Fitzgerald as their coach for a long time. They end up hiring somebody to be their president. And she, I think it was a female. And I think she had like health problems. And unfortunately, it's passed away since. Then they go and get Oregon's president, Michael Schill, and bring him in. And, you know, it's pretty established. Like, you have a lifer and head coach in Pat Fitzgerald, who was, like, the best football player in Northwestern history. He's by far the best coach in Northwestern history. He's been 17 years. Some accusations come out. They do a 7-month investigation into hazing into the program. And, you know, Schill takes a look at the report. 7 months of all this testimony, interviewing, like, 50 people. And he says, okay, Pat Fitzgerald, it's July. I know you're on vacation anyway, but you have to take 2 weeks off right now, and we're not going to pay you. So that's the punishment that Northwestern came up with. They're a private school. They do not release the report. They're like, this is an executive summary that said absolutely nothing. So, okay, fine. So the student newspaper, the next day, this is a Friday news dump, by the way. The next day, the student newspaper comes out with this, you know, kind of expose on all the stuff that's going on, talk to former players, and they're like, the hazing is like out of control, like, you know, dry humping naked freshmen, and all that, like, there's crazy stuff, like sexual harassment kind of stuff in there involved in this. It seems really, really, really bad. And then 24 hours later, Northwestern comes back and goes, oh, okay, instead of a 2-week suspension without pay in July, you're fired. It was like you couldn't have gone from a bigger swing from one to the other.
So but, two thoughts. One, yeah. Nobody – if anybody was wondering if anyone learned the lesson of Penn State, no. No. Nobody did. It's all cover up, cover up, cover your ass all the time. Two, Shill is unfit and should be fired. That's it.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're all they like did this, and they're like European vacations and stuff.
I don't know how many times we have to go through this where it's a bad thing happened, you cover it up. Okay, those people are unfit. Like, you need to be honest about this shit. Fire the fucking meathead head coach. He's a gym coach. Who cares? And you're going like the thing with that is, and I think this is where they run into issues is. They are now forced because of the actions, because of the reality, to fire him. They didn't want to do it, and the reason they didn't want to do it is because it's now going to be a legal fight regarding the buyout, yeah. Which is like $51 million.
Right.
And so
– he's well compensated.
He's a very well compensated man because we overpay these PE teachers. And so they have CEO protection. Like they basically have the protection of
golden
the CEO.
Golden parachutes.
Yeah, they've got golden parachutes. And these schools can't afford the golden parachutes a lot of times. And so you end up in the situation where these guys are, you know, malefactors. They do bad shit. And you can't fire them anymore because of the money involved. And now Northwestern's a pretty wealthy school, you know.
I mean, oh, yeah. They have like this super billionaire that like is building. Like they just opened like a $140 million new facility for football. They're like renovating the stadium for – it's going to be – I think it was like $800 million or something. It's right. Like the real estate guy, Ryan, I forget his name, but he's a huge, huge, huge booster. And a lot of the prominent sports writers that went to Northwestern. It's one of the best journalism schools in the country.
But my point is Northwestern is in the position where it still didn't want to fire him, and I'm guessing it was almost entirely financial until they were forced to, and they're a very wealthy school that can afford it.
Yes.
If it comes down to it that they have to like mitigate the buyout and pay like $20 million, they can do it. There are schools that can't. And I would just be, you know, again, it's looking at an iceberg. All this shit happens. It happens in a lot of different places. Much worse things happen at Penn State, but it's the same basically operating philosophy. They're above the law. They can do whatever the hell they want. We don't need to worry about this, yada, yada, yada. There are schools that can't afford the buyouts and won't do it when it's uncovered, and they maybe don't have a student journalism department that's as robust as Northwestern's because Northwestern has – the best student newspaper in the country and has for decades. Every sports journalist went to Northwestern.
Not everyone, us, but many.
but it's so it's a gross thing. I think it's a sign that, you know, a lot of this stuff happens in a lot of different places. And Michael Shill should be fired, and they should be looking for a new president. And
AD, AD too, probably. Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy. And they're like on vacation. The amount of just like the ego, the hubris, whatever you want to say, like that you're talking about, okay, we're making – it literally feels like this Ivy Tower thing where you're king of all the land and you make a decree and just hand it down like, we will suspend Pat Fitzgerald for 2 weeks. Take my word for the reasoning, you know, behind it and walk away. Avert your gaze as I leave this podium. And like literally within 24 hours, like you have to think like, okay, we're going to suspend him for 2 weeks. If what comes out in the report that we're not releasing, and there's been some prominent like Northwestern grads that have been saying, you know, pushing on Twitter like to release this, your mindset has to be, well, no one's ever going to know what's in this because if they did, it's going to be terrible. Our decision is going to look really, really dumb, which it obviously does. So your mindset has to be no one's ever going to know what was in this. When there's hundreds of former players involved, like there's so many people that could give an interview and tell you their opinion of what's going on. Do you remember, I think this was on I think Dan Wetzel was talking about this. You remember Ray Rice? Mm-hmm. So he like beats up his girlfriend or something in an elevator and the NFL gets the report. They know exactly what happens. They see the video. And they give him some kind of slap on the wrist. Then TMZ puts the video out there, and now he's like blackballed. Like now it's like, okay, we have to really increase the punishment. Nothing changed. It's just what the public found out about changed. They saw the video, and you're like, how can he only get a game suspension or whatever it was? And so Now it's like, oh, once people started to learn what was in the report, now we have to fire the guy. Like,
it's because it's mitigating financial risk. That's the only thing that they're ever calculating in here. And with the public relations, that's a piece of the financial risk. But the financial risk initially is, oh, I might have to outlay some money to pay for firing this guy or pay for suspending him for a long time in the case of Ray Rice. Like, that should have been, what, a year-long suspension, something like that? And no, we can't do that because that's a financial hit to us. It's going to affect our wins and losses, and it's also going to affect, you know, merchandise sales, the whole thing.
But you have to, in your mind, you have to say, can someone ever see this video? Because if they do, we're going to look terrible. Or is someone ever going to read this report or get so information? Because if they do, we like can't
them,
do this.
I would, I mean, and this is maybe me being a little bit pie in the sky. I would like them to be a little bit more high-minded than that and say, hey, is this a repugnant, awful, horrible, dirty shit thing that happened?
Sure.
Okay, then the perpetrator of this should be shit canned, and the people who knew about it and did nothing should be shit canned. Which in this case is Pat Fitzgerald. You know, I don't necessarily buy the reports that he was encouraging it, which was what is in that initial Northwestern story. Yeah. That seems
but he was definitely aware
that seems
of
unlikely,
it.
But very aware of it.
Yes.
No doubt. He's the head coach. These guys are little tin pot dictators. So, of course, he knew. And his job and the reason he is afforded so much money is to not do shit like that and also to have security in the event that he has to get fired. So anyway, it shouldn't be the thing where it's only a PR consideration and it's only a financial consideration, but it is. But when they screw it up so badly, when they mismanage it so terribly like these guys did, they should all be fired.
Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of a crazy story, like big thing college football. We've had the last couple of years, like July's been like
– fun times.
I think – was it 2 years ago was maybe Texas-Oklahoma? I think it was in that time frame. Then obviously last year, USC-UCLA, where you're like the slow time. Like most of the – you know, sports writers are on vacation now because most of the coaches are on vacation. So when all this like crazy college football news happens, it's pretty nuts. Anything else, David? We can take a break and do some questions.
Take a break.
All right. Back in a minute, everybody.
Hey, we're back.
Hey, we're back here. Podcast of Champions. My apologies if you're watching. Thank you, first of all, for watching live.
How was your trip?
On YouTube. It was good.
Where did you go during our break?
We have like 40-something people watching live on what's today? Thursday morning?
Did you go to Vegas during our break?
We could have.
We could have. We could have made it.
You could have made a donut run. That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. But you already ate a nice breakfast sandwich.
I made a huge-ass breakfast sandwich, like eggs, bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato. Because I did like an early workout.
Isn't that a little heavy for breakfast?
I know, but I did a, like 6 a.m. like spin class and I was hungry and I had like eggs and bacon. I stopped by the store. I mean, it's like massive sandwich. It was great.
Damn.
And then Elizabeth brought me tea. So I had some tea this morning. I got more tea. So I'm like, I'm kind of amped.
You are.
I'm ready to answer questions and stuff. But I wanted to apologize if you are watching live on YouTube. For whatever reason, the comments, I couldn't put them up on the screen.
Don't apologize to them.
We'll try to. So David can go through the chat and read your questions this time. Because
Don't apologize to them. Apologize to me.
For all the stuff you do. We have a voicemail that came from last week, the holiday week, I guess. I'll play it for you.
Holiday week.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Kirk. Just had a question for the podcast historian, Dave. With it being 4th of July this week, I wanted to get your opinion on kind of what you feel is like an overlooked period of U.S. history, kind of one that you feel like people should read more into. Thanks, guys. Hope you had a great 4th of July.
So an overlooked period of U.S. history.
I think unless you are super into like modern politics and stuff, a naturally overlooked part of American history is everything from about 1950 on.
Yeah.
Basically, the last 70 years because and this is 20 years ago. But when I was in high school, the textbooks more or less stopped in like the 1960s, and there'd be like a brief little overview of the 70s and 80s, but nothing that was super in depth. And this is the way history works, obviously, is that it's hard to examine it in real time. And so you don't see the both sides of everything or like all that sort of stuff. But I think people trying to understand our place in the world and the ways in which we overreach and do a lot of dark and shitty things. You have to understand what we were doing in the 50s and 60s and 70s in our fight against communism and the spread of communism. To understand that, like, the reason, you know, South America is the way that it is, the reason the Middle East is the way that it is, the reason Russia is the way that it is, has a lot to do with shit we did between the 60s and the 80s. And so, you know, looking at all that stuff and having a, having an understanding of that, I think would help perspective. Yeah, especially like when you look at like immigration issues from, you know, the global South to the United States. Well, why are all these people wanting to emigrate from these South American countries and from these Central American countries? Well, you know, we spent the better part of 60 to 100 years destabilizing all those countries. So that's an overlooked part of American history. And then the other one would be the Gilded Age, because we're living in one.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, and it's happened. You know, Elizabeth is here. When Keeley like was an intern with me, you know, that was probably like 8-9 years ago now. You know, to me, like I lived in this, you weren't, you, I don't know what year you were like, when were you born? You were
me?
Yeah.
1985.
85. So you were like 7 or 8, like when the riots happened, LA riots.
Right.
And I was at school, I was at USC, and like I have a bunch of like pictures, like film camera pictures from like 4 days later, we had to leave. And then when we came back, like, it was insanity as far as like National Guard posted at the old sports arena. And, you know, every cop car you saw drive by, there'd be like 3 cop cars, 4 guys in each one with guns. I mean, they were like, it was a military presence like in the city. And we were supposed to take finals again. Like it was like the first day of finals. You know, that's something I lived through as a, like, I guess, young adult, like, you know, being in college. I was a junior or something in college. And like for Keely, like she wasn't born yet, and it was just kind of like, wow, you weren't around for this. And it was hard, and they, looking at the pictures, it was really kind of interesting. And now, and like someone like Elizabeth here, like 9/11, like the interns now weren't born when 9/11 was happening. You're like, holy shit, like this is real history, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, so yeah, are the books like, you know,
yeah, it's the thing. It's like history books now probably go to like the year 2000 or whatever, but do it in that like kind of bullshitty way for the last like 15 years of it. But yeah, it's probably a little bit more in depth through like 1985 or whatever, because we're old, ancient mariners. I would say like there's a lot of history that's obviously happened in the last 20 years that is interesting and valuable, but it's tough to examine. But I think people can start examining the 80s, 70s, and 60s to see the root of a lot of things that are going on now.
Gotcha.
You know, that kind of history, I think, can be more relevant for people than, like, learning about something that was happening in the 1880s.
All right. We had an email. This is funny. From Steve. So we get a lot. Dave created the email address, pac12podcast@gmail.com.
Which is so funny because you're the only one who responds from it, and every time it's signed by me.
It is. So if I can say whatever I want, and it's like signed by David Woods. And correct. Like, but he doesn't respond on there. People have signed up for various dating apps on there. we're like some senior dating or something. David's like very popular with the seniors or whatever.
Linda. Maybe. Very popular with the seniors.
Yeah. I don't know where this email came from, but it says, football private lessons for my kids. I feel like this is someone that actually listens to the show and feels somehow we're involved in this. I don't know. It says, hello, I would love to enroll my kids for football lessons. Where are you located, please? Kindly get back to me at your earliest convenience. From Steve.
You should see what kind of money you can make here. Give them the office address.
Private football lessons?
Yeah, I think you could give a lesson.
Like, I feel like this isn't some weird troll. This is like someone that was listening to the show and thinks that we would give football lessons, which I don't know. Let us know what you think in the chat.
All right. I got a question.
Okay.
Podcast question. This is from Anthony. If you had to survive for 72 hours in a mall for $1 billion, would you rather be trapped with a full-grown gorilla or 7 king cobras? And there's an easy answer here.
I'm full on cobras.
7 king cobras. You could make that 70 king cobras, and I would pick that over a full grown gorilla.
I think so. Because first of all, the mall is huge. Like literally, you could shut a door and keep the cobras out.
Correct.
Right? Like not lock it, just shut it.
Correct.
The gorilla if he wants to eat your ass, he's coming through a door. He's coming through cement walls. Like, I don't know why this is a question. It's cobras.
Yeah. No, the gorilla will knock down like cement walls to get to you if it wants to.
Right. If it there's
now, if we're talking like it's a docile like gorilla that you could become friends with, you know, like one of those movies, you know, it's like a Mighty Joe Young or something, or it's like, you know, oversized gorilla that's actually friendly. I could be like the little princess in King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where he's just like, you know, he just takes me with him. But if we're talking about like a real gorilla, like one that
let's assume that all of the animals in the scenario are trying to kill you. Yes.
Yeah. No question about it. It's the gorilla.
Yeah. If the gorilla is trying to get you, king cobras, then he's probably going to get you.
Well, he's faster than you. He can climb more. He's stronger than you.
Yeah.
And if it's you, he's smarter too. so there's a lot going on.
I mean, hopefully there's like a sporting goods store in there that you can maybe get a weapon or something. But yeah, for the cobras, like literally just you go to like the hot dog on a stick, close the door, eat like corn dogs for like 3 days, and they're never getting in there.
Correct.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say thanks, Anthony, for that one. This is from Jay in New York. David, please share your feelings about the parking situation at Knott's Berry Farm.
All right. So I sent out a tweet to Knott's Berry Farm on Sunday.
About?
Of.
Oh, because you were going there.
Saturday.
You were a Knott's Berry Farm fan.
It was a day. It was a day.
You were a Knott's Berry Farm fan.
No.
I thought you liked Knott's Berry Farm.
No. No, I don't. It's crowded.
You like Disneyland.
I like Soak City, which is a water park that I take my children to.
Okay. I thought you were like Knott's fan.
They're okay. I mean, I've got the season pass thing because it was super cheap for a long time, but they raised the prices on that, which is going to be related to what I'm saying here. Speaking of the inroads of capitalism and eking a profit out of every possible thing you possibly can, they have taken one of the parking lots at Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay.
They have added no parking, and they have made that parking premium parking.
Oh.
Which costs $50 to park. $50 to park.
What a deal.
To go to Knott's Berry Farm, which people have gone to Knott's Berry
Farm. I like jelly.
Before. Yeah. We like it. It's not a $50 parking situation. No. You want to pay $15 maybe to park there. It's now $50 to park in that lot. But the problem is they didn't add any parking. So what that means is nobody's paying the $50 to park because that's insane.
But it just takes away those spots.
It takes away those spots. So everyone is trying to go park in the other lot. So it took like 30 minutes to get in the other day. Which in my life constitutes a real problem. Constitutes, you know, something worth talking about on a podcast.
Okay.
Tirade, really. A tantrum, if you will.
Nah, nice. All right.
So not good. Knott's Berry Farm. Not good. All right. We ready for the next one from Jay?
Yep.
In NY? If you guys could pick 11 other schools to join yours in a conference, who would they be? The goal is fun, not dominance. I've got 11. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
All right. So if I could pick 11 schools to be a part of a conference with UCLA, got to go USC. I'd probably pick Cal and Stanford because they're, you know, somewhat local. They've got a rich history with them. And then if I'm looking a little bit further outside of that footprint, there's something about going up to the Pacific Northwest. I think I'd go Oregon State.
You're really keeping this Pac-12-y.
Washington State. Then I would probably add maybe some other schools in the region like Arizona State. And then if I'm getting a little bit outside of myself, if I have to go two more, it's probably Utah and Colorado.
Wow. It's funny. I'll like reveal. I did a little survey of a lot of people that cover like the Big Ten. And I'm going to have more details coming out with this and stuff. But basically, I was asking people to sort of like, what if you had to like pare it down so there would only be like 10 schools in the Big Ten instead of 16? And people have different – there's some people that want to go back to like the original, what the Big Ten was, like get rid of Penn State, get rid of USC, UCLA. And then some people are just like dropping the Rutgers and the Purdue's of the world and stuff. So people had kind of different perspective. So you took the perspective on this as just – whatever the Pac-12 is right now. Like,
correct.
Yeah, you like that. I Googled like a, you know, what are the most fun colleges in the country? I would go, I think you keep UCLA if you're USC. I think you keep like Notre Dame because that's kind of a cool rivalry. Clemson would be a fun one. Like, that's a really cool one. Penn State was up there. I think that would be fun to put in there. Where would you like to go? I like New Orleans. Like, Tulane, I think that would be fun. You know, you can add Tulane. I think University of Miami, you want that. Like, you want some South Beach action. I think Texas would be a good one. We want some smart people. We'll go Vanderbilt. I like going to Nashville. That's a lot of fun. Probably University of Florida. That's a good one. Wisconsin, I definitely want to go to Madison and check out, you know, what that's all about. I think Kentucky would be kind of cool, maybe just for more of the basketball side. And maybe another SEC one. I had a good time down at Auburn. We'll add Auburn.
All right.
I don't know if that was 12, but that's...
Doesn't matter.
I'm just trying to like add some fun.
I like
some fun schools. You want to look through the chat to see?
I do. All right. So this is one from Colt Bush. Question. It's a fake name. Colt Bush?
It's a handle on YouTube, so I assume it's fake.
Yeah.
If the Bricks King podcast is a real name, probably not.
Question. Is the Pac-12... Although
Amy Nelson, I think it's a real one.
Yeah. Is the Pac-12 waiting to announce a bad deal so that schools have less time to find new conference homes?
I don't think so. I don't think it's – I mean, we don't know the strategy behind this. Like, if it's really bad and you're waiting this long, I don't think that would be a sound strategy because you're basically – you don't, you know, sign this grant of rights. I don't think this would be the case. I mean, it doesn't look like the Big 12, like from what Yarmark was saying, wants to add anybody. I don't think the Big 10 will. That, you know, they got a new commissioner and all that. But if the deal stinks, I think Yarmark would jump on some of the four corner schools, if not all of them. So I don't think timing would matter. It might just be, you know, they would come in later. Like right now, the Big 12 this year has 14 teams. Texas and Oklahoma leave next year, and then they'll have 12, and they could get back up to 14 or 16. So I don't think that would really – if that's a strategy, I don't think it would really work. Now, maybe it's better for, like, Oregon or Washington. They don't have as many options, but I don't think you could keep the whole conference together by waiting. So I don't think it would be a sound strategy. I don't know. What do you think, David?
No, I don't. I think the it's again, it's Occam's razor. They don't have a deal. And if they had a deal, they'd be pitching it and trying to make it happen. But they don't have a deal. I think the much more likely thing is that they would try to spin a bad deal as a good deal, which is what will probably end up happening, is that they will try to pitch it rather than try to hide from it.
Yeah. On that previous question, Amy's saying, I think we need to first define fun and then... West Texas Mike is saying Ryan's choosing all the universities with towns he can do some serious drinking. Yeah, like that's what I'm thinking of for fun. Like, where would I want to go?
Yeah.
I probably should put Arizona State in there because I love going to Scottsdale.
This is from BL. When is Ryan moving over to Threads?
I have a Threads, but not personal. It's the peristyle on Threads.
Why have you not created a Inside Troy Threads?
Because you can't – I don't have an Inside Troy Instagram. It's tied it's exactly tied to your Instagram.
Why don't you create a Ryan Abraham Threads and then you don't have to be inside Troy anymore? You can be outside of Troy.
I tried to do that on Twitter and they won't let me change. And then someone probably already has it on Instagram. So I have like...
No. Why don't you just take your Instagram, your Ryan Abraham Instagram, and move it over to
Threads? I don't have Ryan Abraham. I have Hermosa Rhino.
Why don't you take Hermosa Rhino over to Threads?
Because it would be for work, so that's my personal one. It's like tied to it.
And you should create an outside Troy.
Outside Troy. And Amy was saying in there, in the chat earlier, that if you want to, so say, you know, you have David Woods or whatever you have for your Instagram, where you occasionally post pictures of like your kids or whatever, you don't post very often, and you create a Threads. She was saying that if you try to delete your Threads, the only way you can do it is by deleting your Instagram. So they Correct. Don't let you delete it.
Yeah.
Which seems a little like I didn't know about that. That seems wrong.
Yeah. So it's not good. It's pretty bad. It's another billionaire trying to steal all your info. But
But those two billionaires could fight, remember? Like, that was something that was going to happen.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I think Elon would kick his ass, but.
Well, maybe they'd both end up with some sort of hematomas.
What was the Friends episode where it was like Jon Favreau was playing Monica's boyfriend and he was like some billionaire and he was like studying, you know, hired all these coaches to be a UFC fighter and just kept getting his ass kicked. It was kind of fun.
West Texas Mike asked, is Moby Dick still under copyright? No, it's not. So it's probably not that why it got taken off.
Taylor says Zuck would wreck Elon. No way, dude.
Yeah, no, he absolutely would.
You think so?
Have you seen him?
Is he like Jack now?
Yeah, dude, he's been doing UFC training and Elon Musk is like a doughy 52-year-old.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe Zuck will kill him.
Zuck is only 39. Like there's a huge age difference and one of them has actually like done things. Elon Musk is just like a big husky South African fat guy.
Oh, okay. I just thought he was like a bigger. I didn't realize Zucker was like, you know, training and stuff.
Yeah, no, he kicked the shit out of him.
Eddie says he trains with GSP. So they're both like training.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is from Amy. How do you rate Kliavkov now compared to when he began? Sounds like you're disillusioned. Yeah, he's
very good question, Amy.
He started off fine, but there's a limited amount that you can blame Larry Scott for after a while.
Yeah, that's sort of like in the beginning I gave him all the passes and now I think he's screwed up some stuff too. You know, yeah. Not to the same level and he started with a bad hand, but I think he's made some bad plays. Like you can have bad cards and lose more money than you need to with those bad cards.
You're already getting in the Vegas mindset. I can hear it.
I'm very much in the Vegas mindset. Like you can throw bad money, you know, good money after bad. And I think we're in that rage now. And some of it might be you're still trying to, what was the Princess Bride?
You're still trying to win.
You're still trying to win. He ends up winning. Yeah. So if Kliavkov can find a Hail Mary somewhere and win, you know, hats off. I don't have a hat on right now. Hats off to him. I just think it might be more of a desperation play. Like you're really doing all you can to try to. And I think some of this too, and it comes back to the school you cover. How much was this delayed by holding out hope that UCLA was going to have to stay? Do you think
that's my point? Is that like
if you did that at all? That was dumb.
How many times on this fucking show did I tell you that was bullshit? And that was starting in September of last year?
No, you said it was no way UCLA wasn't going to leave. And I felt that that was true.
No, but that was bullshit the entire time. And
but
so,
if you really thought that, that was like a pipe dream. If he thought that. Like,
no, but that's my point is he can't think that stupid shit. Like there's people who can. There's people who can posit that stuff. But the fact that like – and again, I'm not saying like Wilner or Canzano are like mouthpieces or anything. But the fact that they were reporting – that was a legitimate possibility was a reflection of what was going on in the Pac-12 offices.
Right.
Which is they thought it was a legitimate possibility, which is insane.
Which is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Absolutely insane. That was never going to happen, ever.
Yeah.
And for them to think that is so stupid.
Ferocious.
And that by itself is, you know, obviously he's not very good. No feel.
Yeah.
All right. We got some more?
Sure.
This is from Jim Choi. How much is that Tesla worth now as used?
I have no idea. Honestly though, it's my favorite thing I've ever bought, you know. I don't think it's worth a lot. It's worth stuff to me buying an older Tesla like that. Like I still have free supercharging. So I can go anywhere on the Tesla network and charge for free. Because I bought it back then. Like now you can't. And I think when I first got it, like the first few years, I could have turned it in and kept that, but you can't anymore. So I'm going to keep it till it's dead, basically. And maybe even just buy a new battery for it. I don't know.
That's how people should use all cars. You drive it until it dies.
I think I've owned maybe four cars, like in my, you know, like I bought one, like when I graduated from college, one, two, three, four. I think it's my fourth car. And I'm, you know, from my 21 to 52. Like I've just kept cars for like 10 years or whatever, you know, like that's all I've done.
Yeah.
But some people lease them and they get a new one every 2 years, but I don't know.
Some people just.
Yeah. But this is definitely my favorite one. So if you're like, oh, like electric car, foot on the accelerator, boom, you're gone. It is just fun.
Yeah. Is Cam Rising healthy? I don't think anyone knows besides Cam Rising and Kyle Whittingham, and they're not telling. So I think it's still up for debate whether he'll be ready for the season opener.
That'll be one of the bigger topics at Media Day, like how healthy is he? Is he going to be come back? Can he play in fall camp and all that stuff? My gut is, David, it's going to be like, you know, if you're not starting fall camp, like it's going to be really hard to start the season, you know, like, so I don't know. Hopefully for the Pac-12, you want to see him healthy and being able to play in fall camp, but I'm not sure. And we don't have any, you know, inside info on it. At least I don't.
This is from Eddie. Dave was born in 1985. Why do I look so much younger than him when I was born in 1984? It's a great question. Eddie, do you have two children?
He might. I don't know.
Then I'll need another excuse. You know, lots of hard living covering UCLA sports. Yeah, Eddie, are you a UCLA person? That can put the years on you real quick. All right.
Just like last year, like basketball, like thinking, like, you know, when David gets the glimmer of hope, Banner 12 is coming.
You see the years just flood off of me.
When like, and he's like talking championships again, and then it just comes all crashing down. It takes a toll. It's fun to watch from the sideline here.
Eddie has four kids. Okay, so there must be like reverse exponential. I just need more kids. Then I'll be fine. All right. I think that is – Mark asks, when is Pac-12 Media Days? It's on Thursday, and it's just a day.
No, is it Friday or
whatever.
Thursday?
Whatever. I don't know.
It's the 21st. Week. It's Friday.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm going now.
We will be there. You know, I'm bummed. We were going to do like a Radio Row thing at some point, and then there's a lot of stuff.
Do you think they would give us Radio Row at
this
point?
No, not now. Like, I don't think they like us because we're leaving. It's not like we're leaving. Like we're not making the millions of dollars. Like,
well, they didn't like us because of the tagline for our show that we still haven't changed.
That's one of the biggest props I give Clay Ofkoff is like, I literally, the second I met him, he quoted that to me, like more homes that like he knew, it was like, he was at USC meeting USC beat people, but he knew me that we were part of the show that says we're in more homes than the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
Which is going to have to change. Because I think the Pac-12 network is probably going to go away or something.
I think it'd be funnier if we kept it, even when they go to the Big Ten. It's we are still in more homes than the Pac-12 network.
True. I would say, yeah, just don't change anything. We just keep it going like it's the same. You know, that's more us. It's like we don't have to work as much if we just keep it that way. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Oh, that's it? An hour and 22 minutes about nothing?
Really? Well, we had our all-conference team. We had to talk about the media. Did you know the media deal's not done yet? You know, we had to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Some excitement. And we had Elizabeth in the studio. You know, it was a fun show.
We laughed, we cried.
I don't know if we're going to do one before Media Day unless they get it. If they get a deal, we'll do one before Media Day. Otherwise, and I will bring my remote equipment.
Ooh, your remote equipment.
I have remote, like, the stuff I have, like, David does not.
But you're bringing your remote equipment.
I'm bringing it.
That's exciting.
And
stuff.
We can do a show after Media Day, either while we're drunk or while we're getting drunk. Would that be good?
I think those are the only two times.
I think it probably won't be video. And we could. I brought the remote stuff and did a USC like composite two-star recruits like Gerard Martinez and Chris Trevino.
We should set up at a video poker bar. Ooh,
that would be
good. Set it up right there.
I don't know if they would allow that. Actually, they do. They allow you to like film stuff now because before they didn't. Now it's like free advertising. So you see like influencers like, you know, people are like going to Vegas, like influencers, and losing crap tons of money in slot machines, but making money because people watch them do it like on their streams and stuff. So you actually make money by losing a lot of money.
Do you know how old that would I be just fun. Got listening to that?
That would be fun.
Like I think it just aged about 40
That's
years.
A thing. Like people do that. You know, people watch people play video games and all that stuff. People will watch you like lose a crap ton of money because it's fun. Like, oh my God, that guy just put $100,000 in a slot machine, but somehow makes it in like YouTube ads or whatever it is or Twitch ads or... However that works. But yeah, we can do it remote. Probably just audio. I think the video aspect, when I try to do it, you know, with my little laptop, it like crashed everything. So, but we can do a recording out there, kind of recapping what's going on at Pac-12 Media Day.
Love it. When are you getting in? You going in Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday day. Yeah, Thursday. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to do the same.
Ooh.
I'm going to try to rearrange my travel schedule.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, like, you went from I'm not sure I'm going to.
Well,
let
now
me
I'm
spend
thinking
like
about it.
A week
I
there.
Really don't want to get up at 5 in the morning or whatever it'll have to be, 3:30 in the morning to get there on Friday.
That would be rough.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.